Turn your Bibles to the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Taking up in verse 33, Luke chapter 5, verse 33. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he said, the old is better. Let us pray. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for the new covenant of grace. We thank thee, Father, for sending thy Son to bear away our sins for this great salvation. We thank thee for the glorious gospel and the blessed hope. We plead thy great mercy that endureth forever. Guide us as a church in the way of truth. Keep us mindful of our Lord's return. We pray that we'd be found worthy to escape the coming tribulation and stand before the Son of Man. We pray for the safety of family members and loved ones that's not in the midst of our pastor also and his son. Grant repentance to them that are lost, we pray. Keep your protective hands upon us and them. We pray for our country that you'd have mercy upon it and grant us leaders that would fear and honor thee. Help us to be Christ-like in our actions to others, we pray. Provide our needs, we pray. Heal us of our infirmities, for we are needy and infirm people. We pray for brother and sister Yeti there in Romania. Keep your protective hands upon them. Keep them from evil. Pray these things be according to thy will. Keep us mindful of the Lord's return and looking for it. For it's in Christ's name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask, and amen. Old patch on a new garment. That's vice versa what we're told. You don't put new patches on old garments, or vice versa. We all at times put the old patch on new garments in another sense. Man's come up with some ideas. God created man upright, but he's come up with many inventions, we're told in Ecclesiastes 7:29. After all, look at how he deals with sin. Alternate lifestyle. Chemical dependency. That's druggies. Many other things. Man comes up with his new drug for the latest ailment. We hear about them all the time. I can't even think of the names of them. It's the same idea, salve his conscience, putting new patches on old garments. We're told in Romans 13 and 14 to put on Jesus Christ. That's what we are to put on. Romans 13 verse 14, I think. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Repentance of sins is a great start. We must repent and believe. Before we can believe in Christ, we must repent. The old man, we must realize, is dying. The things of this world, that's all he's got. It's his lot in life. The new man has eternity with our Lord. We're not told to put on the law. We're told to put on Christ. In the practices and customs of that day, garments were made out of either pure wool or pure linen, and the Jewish law prohibited him from wearing stuff that had diverse materials. That was the law. It's actually pointing to separation. Being separate from the world. Leviticus 19:19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 19, verse 19. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled with linen and woolen come upon thee. God wants his people pure. Now, does God change? We know he does not. Society likes mixers. If you were to put a 4-inch patch of new material on to cover up a pair of old worn jeans, we know it'd end up worse. You'd have a worse mismatch. However, our day and age, our society, that's what they want. I mean, buying these new jeans, tearing the knees out of them and all of that, what's that tell us? It tells us that our present society is headed down a pathway to destruction is what it tells us. The old garment refers to man's self-righteous fig leaves. And we are an unclean thing. Our righteousness is filthy rags. That's what God's word tells us. Preaching of today, if it's sound preaching, it's not smooth things. It's rough things. It shows us what we are. Christ often healed the sick and the lame, and he would tell them, tell no man. He would fast and pray all night and made no show about it. Rough life. It's the life of a Christian is not a smooth, easy thing. We're talking grace. The grace of God shows us that we are unworthy sinners. Romans chapter 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but the law of faith. We say in final analysis, how can man be saved? I mean, the Bible tells me, Scripture tells me, we would be more to be conformed into the image of his son in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. But I don't feel like I'm doing much of a job at gaining that. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I don't feel myself getting any better. However, we're justified not by the deeds of the law. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Thank God for salvation by grace through faith. Seeing verse 30, it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision by faith. And nobody getting there by the works of the law. Verse 1 of chapter 4, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. faith. The book of Galatians, the second chapter, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's one thing we see about these patches. You can patch it up, call sin something else. It's eventually going to show. The good news, of course, is the gospel. Christ died in our place. We believe on him, his finished works, to redeem us from our sins. If it was fair, one man, I mean, it's one way of looking at it, one man's sin condemning us, it's fair, one man's righteousness saving us. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, the old wine, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with him, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. And if you go back and look in Exodus 19. They said, all you say for us to do, we'll do. They didn't do it. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 8. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor's, every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. As to the old bottles, now we think of bottles, glass, plastic even. These were animal skins. They were very careful. When they killed an animal, they'd blow air under the skin and separate it from the carcass, pull the skin off and tie the holes, and use it for a wine bottle. Worked really well. That's what Christ was referring to in our text. In the King James Version, the bottle could be translated skin. Now that's also worthy of typology too. A fresh wine skin was flexible and strong enough to receive new wine. It was not set in its ways. You get where I'm coming from. Those set in their ways, hard and brittle. You want to look at examples of one being set in their ways? Turn to Romans chapter 9. Verse 15. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God which showeth mercy. For scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I may show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. What did Pharaoh do? He didn't know the Lord and wouldn't know the Lord. He was set in his ways. Went running after the children of Israel after he told them to leave. It cost him his life. Nebuchadnezzar was set in his ways. God sent him through lycanthropy, as it's called. That disease, what I would call it. He couldn't let go of his pride. Said in the, I'm in the wrong chapter. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? Couldn't let go of his pride. Set in his ways. Problem with the Jews. Set in their ways. 2 Kings chapter 17, 14. 2 Kings 17, 14. No, that's not the... I'm in 1 Kings. No wonder it didn't look right. 2 Kings 17. Verse 13, actually. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways. This sounds like today. Turn ye from evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, set in their ways, like the neck of their fathers that did not believe the Lord their God. See, man really hasn't changed a whole lot. He cannot, unless God changes him. The age of the old wine and has filled its purpose, actually. It's a great background for the reign of grace. You look at law, one blotch, it's over. Grace is far greater. Grace is a great, exceeding great thing. In Mark chapter 8, verse 13. Mark 8:13. We're told in Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're to be forgiving if we are to expect forgiveness. In Mark chapter 8, verse 13, he left them and entered into a ship and departed to the other side. Now his disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, he did not tell them that they were preaching the wrong word. What we're seeing out of the Pharisees and the scribes is what they were saying they were to do and what they did was two different things. It's not really clear in this passage. Verse 17, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not, and do not remember. It can happen to all of us, is the point that I'm trying to make. We must be on guard. We must be constantly examining ourselves. Are we getting set in our ways? Christ taught were to take enter the kingdom as a little child, not as a hard-hearted sinner. He can break that stony heart, and he will. The Jews did not like the fact that they did not have the preeminence on the things of God, and they were envious of Christ. That's it in a nutshell. Grace, like I say, is an exceeding great thing. back to Romans again. Romans, I think I've looked at chapter 3, verse 27. Go back there. Verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish the law. Christ had already said in the Beatitudes that he come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. We're not antinomians. You can, there's a saying that I read, Brother A.W. Pink, one evil when one sees. See, man by nature is an Arminian. He thinks it must be something he's got to do for salvation. Then when he sees salvation by grace through faith, he thinks that he's not responsible to keep the law. There are antinomians which say the law is unimportant. No law, antinomio. The law is important, because if you don't have the law, you don't have anything pointing to the fact that man's a sinner and in need of a Savior. You've heard me use that illustration countless times, that if you're driving through a city that does not have a posted speed limit, they cannot bust you for speeding because there was no law. That's brought out several places, but in there in Romans chapter 4, verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. That's putting a old patch on a new garment. The new wine of Christ's salvation cannot be put into old dead skins. The good news is we must put on the new man. And that is only done in Christ. We have no power or ability to do that, because man cannot change from his sinful ways. The change must be done by the working of the Holy Spirit, the circumcision of the heart. These things only God can do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now outwardly they appeared to be right and good. We are figuratively just before the Almighty, made just by Christ. Our righteousness, and the scribes and the Pharisees would appear to be righteous, but they were hypocritical. We cannot be that. We're to put on Christ. So it's not us, it's Christ working in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, your only hope is in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, we're to reach the stature of Christ, and we'll be attempting to do that our entire life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. Hebrews 10, 15. Hebrews 10, 15 through 19, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Without Christ, we have no hope. Christ is the object of our faith, namely his blood. It's there in the book of Romans, it talks about in the third chapter. Chapter 3, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The blood is a serious thing. God demanded it. Man left to himself has little hope. It's man's nature to seek justification by his works. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. I call it the Great Allegory chapter. Galatians 4:9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desired to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Sounds like the world. Sounds like the Catholic holidays. Howbeit, verse 8, when ye knew not God, ye did service by them which by nature are no gods. Man's a religious being. But once again, without Christ, he's an Arminian. Without Christ, he's an idol worshiper. He'll tell you he's not, but his actions prove otherwise. Paul asks a question in verse 9. Why are you looking back to the law? There's no justification. It's all the same as putting the new patch on the old patch on the new garment. Why does God allow man to go through these, I guess you would say, trials, seeing when we look back, we were so wrong, this, observing the holidays. And at one time, I was no different. Do you believe in God? You don't celebrate Christmas. That was what I thought of the Jehovah's Witness. They didn't observe holidays. Come to find out, it's one of the few things they were right about. Observing, I'm not saying their reasoning was right, but that's pagan holidays. But that's natural man. He's naturally an idol worshiper. If you don't believe he's an idol worshiper, over there in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, what's it say about the tree? Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Verse 3, for the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the hands of the workmen with an axe. They deck it with silver and gold. On and on we go. We've heard these things time and time again. This is the way natural man is the point that I'm trying to make. He's an idol worshiper. He's an Arminian. How can he change these things? Only God can. Why does God allow us to go through these? It works of, that we deem to be meet for salvation. Well, God allows man to make a, as one brother Eckstein said, God allows man to make a good fool of himself. That is the point that I'm trying to make. And all these things that his inventions that man comes up with. In Psalms chapter 73. It's, some would say it's a learning process. We never forget where we were made wrong and brought to see the, our futility. In Psalm 73, verse 21, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. How do you think they felt there in the book of Acts when Peter presented them with the first degree murder charge of Christ? When he preached, him being delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 37 tells you how they felt. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. God does allow us to make a good fool of ourselves. We're not to use that word, but God's word puts it in proper perspective. In Psalms 106, verse 33, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. This was Moses. Smote the rock twice. Unadvisedly. We do some things unadvisedly sometimes. He called them rebels in Numbers 20 and 10. Hothead. It happens to us all sometimes. We do foolish things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 tells us to be angry and sin not. Under the law, it was wrong to be angry with a brother without a cause. Christ addressed that. It's wrong to call one fool. Scripture lists types of fools. Sir Bigger Barnes in Luke chapter 12, the soul have got many goods laid up. His provisions was going to carry him through. Well, his soul was required that night. God's word called him thou fool. The atheist fool we read about in the book of Psalms, the 14th chapter. Psalms chapter 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God's word, if you study that out, gives him one word, calls him fool and nothing else. So you say there's no God, fool. That's the way it reads. The fool lauds the architecture, the artwork, the machinery, but he claims man come from a monkey. He dares contend with God, waging war against a God he claims does not exist. Says there is no such one. Such one God's word calls a fool. Give up on God's promises. there are those that do give up on God's promises. It's found in the second chapter, second book of Peter. Say, is, of course, since the fathers fell asleep, things continue. Anybody that disagrees with God's word would say they're a fool. There's the wise fool. What we read there in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. We have a lot of these. 1 and 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and but became vain in their imaginations. Neglected his word, wise fool. There's the learned religionists, those that are experienced in the religions, what they all say, the ways of the world, religionists, but still like the life of sin. That's a learned fool. I knew a man like that, told me how he was taught in religion. If you met this man, he said there was nothing religious about him. He was very wicked. Scribes and Pharisees, outwardly right, but inwardly wrong. Religionists, free willism. We already read, man does not have a free will. There's men and women that are self-centered. Sir, as mentioned, Sir Bigger Barnes. Psalms chapter 49, verse 18 and 19. I will read it. Psalm 49, verse 18. Well, let's start with verse 15, Psalms 49, 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me. True. It's all salvation is of the Lord. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Those that have their lot in this life, Scripture would say they're a fool. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, Sir Bigger Barnes, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perisheth. That's your wise fool. Scripture, all stands or falls together. This man was evil, showed nothing good about him. Psalms 50, since we're there, verse 16. But the wicked, unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, that man would be a fool. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. He's going to call every sin. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. And we know, as Solomon wrote, because sentence against an evil is not speedily done, man, his heart set within him to do evil. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Proverbs 1 speaks about the same. He that doeth wrong will receive for the wrong that he doeth. Well, anyway, in closing, how do we keep from being such a fool? I mean, nobody wants to be one. Get in God's Word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When you see others involved in sin, don't be a partaker with them. We've been studying the end times. We don't want to be partakers with them either. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Do we see our true state? Do we examine ourselves? Are we consumed with the things of God? Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. We think about Samson, whose eyes took him away after the wrong women. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to thy right hand or to thy left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let us be fools for Christ if we're going to be fools. Let us flee to Christ in faith. Natural man is in unbelief. Make good on our patches is what I'm saying. We're going to have holes that we need to patch up. Let us use the right patch. That patch is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. That's what the apostles suffered. And labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all the things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but my beloved sons, I warn you. When we are Christ-like, we're pointing others to Christ, which is our task to do on this earth anyway. That's all that I have.